This morning, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Many believe that Isaiah wrote this about himself, but about the coming Messiah. This is what the Messiah will be about. So when Jesus read this, he was reading what the Messiah said was to be about. And then he said, "This day it's fulfilled in your ears," which means the Messiah is here. The King of Kings is here. The Lord of Lords is here. Meaning himself. I want you to know that there are certain things that I believe the church is, and one preeminently, and that is we are to be these things in chapter verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There was a ship, a fishing boat named the Andrea Gale. Have any of you ever heard of that one? There was a movie that came out about the Andrea Gale called The Perfect Storm. Any of you ever heard there was a book that preceded that, The Perfect Storm. Those who actually lived during those times say, and that was back in 1991 when it happened, The Perfect Storm, the book was very accurate. The movie was a little bit Hollywoodized, okay, as they normally do. But it was about a family and several fishermen who went out in the Andrea Gale, a fishing vessel, in October of 1991, and as they went out, they saw that the fishing grounds there in the Grand Banks off of Newfoundland were not that productive. They felt like they needed to go further, so the captain himself decided to go to the Flemish Cap, which is another 2 or 3 day ride out. And it was well past Greenland. They had come from Gloucester, Mass., and now they were way out. They fished and apparently had a lot of good luck in favor, and they filled the boat full of fish. They said they needed to get back quickly because the ice machine was not working well. They would lose all of their fish. Coming back, the movie sort of gave the inferences that when they were coming back, they heard about the storm that was coming, and they decided to go through it because the most important thing was, as fishermen, that they get through the storm and get the fish back. If they come back without any fish, what good are they? They're not fishermen. And so they went into the storm. Most of you know it was a nor'easter that ran into a hurricane. That's why they call it the perfect storm. I believe it was Hurricane Gloria was diminished, but it ran into a nor'easter that had part of it come down from Canada, another part from a low pressure from the east. They all met right over the North Atlantic. Great storm. 30-foot waves, and this boat went right into it. 90-mile-an-hour winds. In the movie, the Coast Guard tried to get to them, but we found that actually the Coast Guard was going to someone else, and they had to ditch their helicopter, much as it did in the movie. But anyway, it was a terrible storm. And in the process, one of the men said, you know, they were talking about going back, and he said, look, we're fishermen. We take fish. Let's go. They risked their lives and all lost their lives. They disappeared, and the boat nor the men were ever found. I do believe they did find some relics from the boat on one of the islands off of Greenland, but they were completely gone. I believe our mission is not only as a body, but as individuals, is to go ye therefore and make disciples. It's to be fishermen. Now we have Barbara's husband who's fishing. He's been fishing all weekend, I think, hasn't he? Yeah. And I asked him how much fish he was coming back with. He said nothing. He said, we throw them back. And I said, oh, man, you know. That's why. Well, anyway, that's what he told me anyway. So I want you to know, though, fishermen are about fish. Jesus called the church and us as Christians to be fishermen. He called him and he said, if you come and follow me, I will make you a good worshiper. Is that what he said? Come follow me and I'll make you a good Bible reader. Come follow me and I'll make you a good prayer warrior. All of those are vital and important for us to be what God called us to be. You see, we get it mixed up. The things that build us up so that we could do the things God called us to, those things we work on. But the things that Christ has called us to, we don't work on. He's called us to be fishermen. And if we don't come back with fish, then how good a fisherman are we? Our boats come back empty. Our call as Christians is missions. And you say, well, how does that equate with what you just read? Well, when Jesus read this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Many people, as a matter of fact, there are many in the Christian world who believe their call as Christians is to be benevolent. I mean, aren't we called? Didn't Jesus say, you know, he was here to for the poor and to bring good news and also freedom to the prisoners? We should be going to the prisons and recovery of sight to the blind. And aren't we about benevolence? Wasn't that what Jesus was about? About taking care of people. Social ministry. Yes, we are to have social ministry in the church, but that's not our call. Social ministry comes out of love. We are born in Christ's love, and we love you so much, we will take care of you. We love you in Christ, but that's not our call. Our call is to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, from India, Africa, Asia. We're called to go and reach them all. That's what we do. How? Well, you read that scripture, and you say, well, wait a minute. It says the poor and the needy. Let me say this. Christ went in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and verified what he was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. This is a social ministry we're called to. I think some think, all right, I'm not gifted to do that. It's not about a gift. I don't even think that we understand the implications here, because it says in the last one, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, what is the Lord's favor? The year of the Lord's favor. Every 50 years, the Jewish people would cancel debt. They also, all the original properties reverted back to the original owners after 50 years. It is said that the Jewish people did not comply with that. And that's why for 70 years they went into bondage, because they would not follow God's plan. Would that we never, as a church, go into bondage for 70 years because we're not following God's call and His word. What is it that it says here in the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. What poor? The poor in spirit. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. What prisoners? Those who are bound in sin. And recovery of sight to the blind. What blind? Those who can't see the truth. He was speaking about the people who can't see the truth. They're blinded. And the oppressed set free. What oppressed? Those who are under the oppression of terrible things in their life that have gone on, and even sin in their life. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what we're called to do. I want to say this. That to set the oppressed free usually means that we are there to help people when they are struggling in their deepest emotional moment. Is there anybody here that is so equipped and so trained as if somebody has a terrible drug addiction and their family's falling apart, you have all the wherewithal to go in and counsel them? Anybody? Raise your hand. No, none of us. So why does He call us to that? Because His Holy Spirit is the one that does it for us. Yet we are called to go. Have I got the ability nor the training to go and walk into a person's house that's Islamic or Buddhist and share the gospel message? Anybody here got that training? No, none of us do. So why does He use us? Because He has called us all according to His Holy Spirit to go ye therefore. And He gives us the words to speak if we listen to Him. We have no option. There is no option. This is our call. This past week, ran Uber 2 or 3 times. It seems like it's getting less and less. I hate to say that, but it does. But I took, I was running Uber, and the first guy I picked up near my house. And after I let him out, I said, I have my sermon for Sunday. And he said, good. This is what happened. He was going to downtown Raleigh. And at 5 o'clock, I had him for a while. I had him for 45 minutes. I did not plan this. I did not say, all right, this is a good one to witness to. But it was what God laid on my heart as far as your message and my message this morning. he got in, we got going, and we talked about family, and we talked about the weather, and we talked about the typical stuff. I just believe if you talk to people, stuff comes out. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to know the magic questions. It just comes out. If you're there long enough. I had 40 minutes, 45. So we're driving along, and then he said, I'm in a rough time right now. He said, I'm living in a house in Raleigh that's a group house, a group home. I used to have everything. I had a home. I had everything you would want. I had a family, I had children. They're all gone. He said, I found out my wife was having an affair and I couldn't forgive her. And I became bitter and I began to drink. Then I began to do drugs. And she left because of that. He said, I lost everything. I ended up in drug rehabilitation and now I'm in a group home over here. And I see my child at least once or twice a week. He says, she'll let me come over and see my child. We've been through a divorce. My life is gone. It's completely collapsed. I have nothing. I am nothing. I looked at him and I said, you're looking in a mirror. I haven't been on drugs and I haven't been on alcohol, but I've been through part of what you've been through in a divorce. I have been through a terrible time in my life. Many years ago, and I'd like to think it was 10 lifetimes ago, it happened. And I said, and I've got some things I want to share with you right now. Your life is not over. It's only just beginning, because you're where God can now speak to you. I said, do you believe in God? He said, oh, I believe in God. He said, as a matter of fact, my father was a pastor. And my grandfather was a pastor. And my mother is a preacher too. And I committed my life to be a minister when I was a teenager. I think he said teenager. I said, wow, whoa. And he said, but I got too busy in construction work and I had my own company. I was doing great. And he said, I just walked away. I said, I want to sing a song to you. I had him. He couldn't go anywhere. He had to listen to me sing. I said, he who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it. He who started his work will be faithful to complete it in you. And I looked over, he was crying, he had tears all in his eyes. He said, I do get to see my child. And he said, I love my wife more than I love anything in the world. And I want to go back with her. I said, you know what? He said, what? God sent me here today. He said, I know that. This was prearranged. Do you understand this? He said, yeah, because I was going home another way. And my boss said, no, let me call Uber and get somebody to take you home. God had this plan. It was my first ride. He was only about a mile from my house when I picked him up. I normally don't turn it on at my house. I usually go down to Duke where there's more students and I turn it on there. But I turned it on at my house. God had a plan. Don't you think that we are called to be fishermen and everything we do and everything we say is to reach somebody for Jesus, even if it's the smallest words or the smallest things that you say? He got out of the car and we talked on a while. And he says, "What do I say to my wife?" And I say, "Pray over her and pray over your marriage. And next time you see her, just look at her and say, 'I know God is going to restore our marriage because he's laid it on my heart,' if he's laid that on your heart." And you just continue to say that and let God do the work. Don't force anything, but seek God's guidance. And he will restore your marriage. He'll restore your home. He'll restore your wealth. He'll restore you. You aren't even close to where he wants to take you. And he got out, and I gave him my card, and I said, "If you ever need anything, give me a call." And he got out. The next rider I had, we didn't talk about anything but my truck. He won't know. How much does it cost for a truck? Now, I'm just letting you. He started the conversation, and I just followed it. There was nowhere to go with witness other than I had brochures on my thing. He saw those. But, okay, just like you said, there are some times God has the door open, and the next moment it's not open. You have got to step through the door. This is the whole point. Christian witness and ministry is when God opens the door, you just step through. You don't beat down doors. You just step through open doors. And they're all around us. Our problem is we don't take time to talk. We don't take time. Last night was my wife's 50th. Yesterday afternoon and night was my wife's 50th high school reunion, and we went there, and I sat at the table. She's old. Mine was last year, so I'm older. We sat at a table, and it wasn't long before we began to testify to each other at the table. I was sitting at a table of profoundly powerful Christians. So it was fun. But there's no way to sit at a table for 2 hours and not talk about the Lord somewhere in there. You just can't help. It's got to come out if you're a Christian. I didn't force it, but it's going to come out. Why? Because I am a person who has been saved. I have been brought into the kingdom of God. How in the world can I keep someone who is dying and going to hell from not experiencing that? Who am I to think it's all for me and no one else should have it? When I don't share, then I am selfish and rude with the salvation that I have. I'll never forget my parents looking at me at Christmas when we would get gifts. They would always say this, "This is for you to share." Your faith is not for you to hoard. It is for you to share. And that's what missions is. What is your mission statement? If you don't have one, I encourage you this week to sit down in your quiet time and say, "Lord, I've never tried this before, so I'm sort of, help me to write a mission statement. Help me to know what to write." It might be 2 or 3 words, and it might be 4 paragraphs. And let God lead you in that. Because when you write a mission statement, you know where you're going, and you know who sent you there. Let us pray.